Would you be good enough to share your statement with us briefly?
Also auch ich stamme aus ärmlichen Verhältnissen.
I don't need it. You'll need the translation. But I'll be talking now. As a child, I came from a poor background, and a real turning point in my life was when Austria was turned into the Ostmark. Up to this time, I had almost no contact to my father, but only to my mother, and I only met my mother in my father in 1939. After I was at home very briefly, he was at home very briefly. Before that, no, I was at home very briefly. Before that, I was with foster parents. Then I left my foster parents and went to a children's residential home. I went from the home to my parents. I have to say something that happened to me that turned out to be of great importance for my later life. My father was a serious alcoholic. I went for a walk with him in Vienna. And I had no idea about politics. I didn't know any names of politicians. I was 10. And two German officers were walking ahead of us. My father turned to me and said, "I will beat you with my hands if you ever join this crew. But when Stalin comes, then I'll take it back." I didn't know what he was talking about. But it was only in my later life that I understood it. In 1939, my father was deemed unfit for service. He received a letter from the local armed services that said that he was not deemed worthy of wearing the uniform of the Führer, and that he did not even deserve to die for the Führer. So when I received this, I got a letter from the Hitler Youth in their local branch in Vienna, and I was told, my mother read it to me, although I think I understood it a little bit, and it said that I was excluded from the Deutsche Jungvolk, or the Hitler Youth, and that I couldn't go to the group that came before the Hitler Youth, or then the Hitler Youth itself, and that at no point in my life could I be a member of any organization that was under the auspices of the National Socialist Party. I went to school after this, and my classmates, if they didn't have a brown shirt already, they had the Hitler Youth crest that they wore. And it didn't take very long until I was asked why I never went along to the gatherings, the meetings in the evenings. The class prefect knew why not, and he sat me on the dunce seat. And during the lesson, I was never addressed. I was never asked a question. I was completely ignored. The reasons why I never came to these evenings became clearer and clearer. And whenever I hear this phrase, "we knew nothing about it," I go mad if I hear this. I was with 10 and 12 year olds in the school, and in the classroom I was abused with statements like, he probably can't go to the Hitler Youth because he's a 32nd fraction Jew. So even the our classmates were aware of this so-called unworthiness, inferiority, quote unquote, of the Jewish people. I didn't know what to do, so I stopped going to school. Whenever school was over, I came home at the right time so that my mother had no idea I wasn't going to school, but it didn't take too long before the director of the school invited me and her for a discussion, saying he's a truant. And later I had to hear a statement from a psychiatric hospital that said that this young boy doesn't take part in lessons, doesn't make friends, he doesn't talk to anyone, and he prefers to hang around on street corners and at markets. And one fine day, the police came and took me, my brother, and my sister into this so-called children's assembly point. At that time, I thought that staying away from school was the reason that I experienced these things, but now I wonder why my brother and my sister had the same fate. I was admitted into the youth welfare residential care in the Spielgrund area. As a child, I didn't ask too many questions as to why this was the case. And then for the first time in my life, there, I encountered a doctor, Dr. Heinrich Groß. We were measured in terms of our skulls. This Dr. Groß didn't speak to us at all. He only spoke to a nurse and dictated things to her. And he put us into the ward. And in the ward, we were supervised by nurses, male and female. Who had been transferred there. They had normally looked after sick grown-ups who had been transported away, and so the personnel was available, and so were the rooms. And these nurses inflicted all possible crimes and abuses on the children in the way they had on the adults. I had to take powders. We were told these are vitamin tablets. And I kept getting more and more tired from these vitamin tablets. I didn't even notice my surroundings anymore until I finally thought, I'm not going to take this medication anymore. My nurse said, take it voluntarily or else you'll be pleased to take it voluntarily. And he then proceeded to demonstrate what happens if you refuse to take medication. My eyes, basically, he pulled my head straight back like this, opened up my mouth, and jammed all this powder into my mouth, and threw this water down me. And the abuse that I encountered under this procedure meant that I couldn't even get up for a while. It took several months, not to myself, but to other people that were there with me, experienced injections. Dr. Gross, in 1999, was addressed by a Judge Nurtling, and he explained to her, yes, there were injections in Spielgrund. They were administered, but these were disciplinary measures against cheeky children. And when the judge said, weren't you a bit worried about doing this torture to children? Because these injections caused them to vomit, and to vomit until there was nothing left in their stomachs at all. And they still had to vomit. They were gagging again until their stomach muscles had cramps and they actually had strained muscles from it. Dr. Gross didn't know what else to say except, yes, but they were disciplinary measures against, cheeky children. After that, they weren't so cheeky. And even in 1999, no one from the medical body in Austria has said anything against this kind of statement. They were aware of the fact that Nazi doctors tormented children through medical means. My history continued. I stayed at Spielgrund for a while, another few months, and then went to the National Socialist Juvenile Home, and there we were abused with political education. And I was supposed to repeat that I was excluded from the Hitler Youth because I am unworthy, and I had to take part in political training. And the treatment in Ödling was even worse than what we experienced at Spielgrund. Because from 6 in the morning till 8 in the evening, we had political training. And if the instructors wanted to, he would go through, whether it was 3 in the morning or in the middle of the night, and would just pull some inmate out, take their blanket off, and scream at them, when was Adolf Hitler born? And if this boy couldn't say it was the 20th of April, 1898, then he would have been beaten badly. And this went from whether it was, we had to learn from all the various different aspects of the Nazi Party. I thought it was pretty stupid because I wasn't even allowed to go to any political party. I still don't really understand why that was the case till today. But in any case, it was one for all and all for one. So everyone was punished if one person had not done something, whether it was our penal gymnastics that we did or whether people were just exhausted, whatever it was. If they weren't in a position to do the gymnastics, then we were beaten, the soles of our feet were beaten. And at the end, Huber is told not to forget when Hitler was born. That was the whole point of these punishments. But this led to the inmates suffering unbelievable atrocities. The ones who were to blame for the punishments that we got, the one person who done something wrong, were tormented. They put peed on their beds and things like that. In Mödlingen, we had one instructor came approached young boys in a homosexual way. I went along with it because it meant that I had certain privileges, and I bought these privileges by tolerating these advances. I didn't go to school very much, but in Mödling there was a school. I once fell asleep in class, and the teacher asked me why not, and I said why not.
Ja, bitte. Können Sie, can you
ich
now...
Ich habe den Klassenlehrer dann alles erzählt, was...
And I talked about, I said what had happened. I went to another penal group.
Summarize the remainder of your testimony. We are a bit pressed, I'm sorry to say.
Ich verstehe das nicht. Ja, ich bin gleich fertig. Und
I'll be finished in a minute. During this phase, a psychiatrist came, Dr. Winkelmeier, and he ascertained that if that young boy had, if he allowed this to be done and didn't complain about it, then it must be the case, or it wouldn't be normal. So at Spielgrund there was a department of the Reichsausschuss led by Dr. Ehling, a man from Leipzig, and here again I met Dr. Groß. In this infirmary, as it were, quote unquote, I thought about escaping, and as I tried to, and as a result, I was locked in a cell. I was 13 at the time, and for over a year, I had only a nightshirt and shoes. And I just running shoes, and I walked back and forth the whole time. I wasn't allowed to go to school anymore. I had no visitors. And I had injections, water cures, and various other things done to me. There was a very humiliating experience as well. I was introduced into a nurse's school in Pavillon 5. It was the one where children were murdered. That was the pavilion. And I was used as a demonstration of what unworthiness and inferiority is, physically and genetically, etc. And this statement can be found in a report by Primarius Ehling.
I'm sure that even if we had much more time, you could not completely describe the horrible experience you had. But let me see if there are some questions about your testimony to this point, if you will permit. Are there questions from Dr. Leifer?
Yes. How were you first brought into contact with the psychiatrist?
Yes,
how did that happen?
Zum ersten Mal bin ich